So many great things that are happening Tuesday night. Guys, if you don't plan on coming, you should plan on coming. We got a lot of guys signed up, and we're going to have a great time this Tuesday night for that men's battle briefing. And Rick's done a great job getting ready for that. I also want to mention that tomorrow, a wonderful, beautiful person, Rhema Troutman, passed away just recently, and her service is going to be tomorrow at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock, and that's kind of a recent event. Is that correct? Okay. Thank you, Chrissy. Okay. Great. All right. I'm going to ask you guys to do something for me, just right where you sit. Let's just stop just a moment, and I would like us just to seek the Lord for a few moments. And I'm privileged to bring the Word of God to you today. Unfortunately, what I'm going to be talking about, I had absolutely nothing to do with, but I just get to tell you about it. And it's a wonderful, wonderful truth that many of you know already. But I'd like you just to pray with me for a moment. Excuse me, a moment. Lord, we just come before you, and we love you. We praise you. Lord, we've worshiped you in song. Wonderful way that you have created for us to be able to communicate with you is through music, which is your creation. And Lord, as we dig into your word, Lord, we just ask that you would take that word and not just go to our minds, but go to our hearts, because that's when life change begins. And so, Lord, today, that's what we ask in Jesus' name. Lord, you said we don't have because we don't ask. Well, we're asking, and we're saying, Lord, make a heart change in me, not just in my mind, but in my heart. So we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. All right. Well, the Rogue Valley, that's where we live, in case you didn't know that. It's a wonderful place to live. God's creative beauty is expressed in so many different ways, as you know. The many-layered mountains, valleys, which at times seem to be solely designed to be a backdrop for the most amazing cloud and light formations that I have ever seen. The innumerable rivers and lakes and tree-covered mountains and hills that are available for all to enjoy, to fish, hunt, hike, and just to sightsee. And all of this is nothing but a gift from our Creator. And by and large, people are friendly here. And we have a wide variety of types of people from around the world. In our own church, we have people from South Africa, Romania, England, and even Canada. Yeah. There's sports and culture and food and music, community events to enjoy everywhere we look. And there's much more I could say. And here at Bethel, we are treated standing on this property during the different seasons that we encounter to the most wonderful and at times, and maybe you've seen it, jaw-dropping landscapes and natural light shows that you're ever going to see. And many people seem to land in the Rogue Valley never to leave. It's that good, and I am grateful to live here. And that being said, the challenge as a believer in Christ to live in a place that is so beautiful and so diverse is that we can easily get comfortable in our day-to-day living. That seems to be one of the big challenges to living here as a believer. And oftentimes we get focused on our everyday challenges in life, work, gardening, improving our homes, taking care of our families, making time for recreation, camping, hunting, fishing. These are all good things. And the Bible actually has something to say about this, putting all of this in a good light. I just want to read this quickly. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, "Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So Paul's saying that our enjoyment need not be in riches, because riches rise and fall. That happens in life. Even people that become very rich, I've known several, and they know how to make money, but they, most of them that I know, they've lost lots of money as well, and then but they know how to make it back. So riches are fleeting. The mountains, the lakes, the streams, the moon, the stars, those are all great. But it's also the enjoying of the fruits of our labor, the smiles on the faces of our children, grandchildren, laughing with friends and family. So many things he has created for us to enjoy, as that scripture says, on this earth. And certainly it includes our beautiful surroundings. But there is something else I want to talk about today that is so marvelous and so wonderful that it can make these other creations seem to pale in significance. But you might ask, well, what could compare to standing on the edge of a crystal clear lake with the sounds of nature coming to your ears, fishing that same lake, or kayaking or rafting down the Rogue River, or hiking one of the many mountainous trails in our valley? Well, you may have guessed, it really is sharing our faith, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to see someone's life change right before our eyes. That's the greatest thing. For them to have hope when they had no hope, and suddenly you see something come alive in them, and they have hope maybe for the first time in their life. And they have a sense of knowing who they are as a child of God. And don't we need that in today's world? People don't know who they are, but we can know who we are. It's very simple. We're children of God. They have a realization that they have a future and an eternity to live in a marvelous place with Jesus Christ forever. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The gospel alone brings forgiven sinners to final everlasting joy. That's it. That's the only thing. And we seek so many other things, even though we know better. That is the truth. That's where our joy comes from. But what exactly is the gospel? I'm going to talk about this for a little bit, and it might be review for many of you. But I think it's really important to review it on occasion. The gospel, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and then to the 12. And then what's not on the screen, I'm going to read this just because we pass this over, and I just think it's so interesting. It says this: after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living at the time of this writing, though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. And that's the Apostle Paul. Now, Christ appeared to more than 500 people. I remember once when I was working, as many of you know, at a guitar manufacturer down in California. And there was a guy, his name was Nelson, really cool guy. I really liked him. Wasn't really a believer, but he would talk to me about God sometimes. And one day he goes, you know, Roger, he said, really only a few people saw Jesus after he was raised from the dead, or supposedly raised from the dead. And I said, well, Nelson, that's not true. I said, actually, there were more than 500 at one time. I just remember the look on his face, and he said, what do you mean? I said, it's in the Bible. Isn't that awesome? More than 500 people saw him at one time, and it's right there. Now, I want to take you through something called the Romans Road, and it's very simple, okay? And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but it's really great. We've been going through the book of Romans on Wednesday nights. It's such a powerful book, a difficult book to speak on and to dissect, but it is all about the gospel. So here we go, Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Let's all say that together. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, this scripture tells us two things. That everyone has done something that is against the character and nature of God. Everybody. Second thing is what is that character? It says the glory of God. The glory of God is, it's his holiness. Okay, so he's perfect and holy. So then what shall we do? How can we close this gap between our sin and his holiness? Okay, how do we close this gap? We look at Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I remember this truth coming to me right after I was saved at the age of 21, and I just could hardly accept it. I hadn't even read this scripture yet. All I knew was, after all I had done, all the things that were nothing close to what God is like, all of these terrible things that I had done through drugs and alcohol and all these things, I knew this scripture without ever reading it. I knew that God, for some reason, forgave me and wanted me to know him because he made himself known to me. And when I read this scripture, I'll never forget it. I said, yes, while I was still a sinner, he died for me. He sought me out when I was still a mess. Praise God. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, and I know many of you can relate to that in your own lives. Okay. Romans 6:23, another great scripture. All right. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, sin brings death. Look at it this way, because you might think, well, why does sin bring death? God is holy. Okay, we know that God is perfect. And if you are separated from God, then you don't have access to any of that. We're in a complete state of helplessness. There's nothing we can do. Sin brings death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Why would he do that? I don't know. It's because who he is. That's the kind of God he is. And we can never be grateful enough. Can you say amen to that? That's right. But he not only saved us from our sin for this life on earth, but for an eternity in heaven. And one more from this Romans road. Romans 10 verses 9 and 10. If you declare with your mouth, now let's pay really attention to this, what this scripture says. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Is there any more than that? Is that it? For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And with God, it's always about the heart. It's always about the heart. It's not about what you've done. Believe in your heart, with your heart that you believe. And you profess with your mouth, but you also believe in your heart and you will be saved. And that's it. There's no hoops to go through. There's no mountains to climb. There's no rivers to swim. There's no amount of good things that you can do to accomplish it, even though we kind of get that in our heads sometimes. I've been there too. You might be feeling some guilt or something, so you do some really good things and you go, oh, I feel really so much better about myself, which is good, but that's not getting you any closer to the Lord because he's done it all. He's done it all, okay? All been done by the death of Jesus Christ, by his perfect blood that was shed for mankind. We are saved. His blood has washed us clean from sin. And now you, if you've never accepted this into your life, you can have new life and you can have a hope for your future. And it's not about religion. It's not about going to a certain church, a certain denomination, nothing like that. It's just plain and simple. You and God, and that he has done it all for you. Isn't that fantastic? Yeah, there's no strings attached, okay? So I want to make a statement today about vision. And we all need vision in our lives. Without vision, the people perish. But I want to talk to you a little bit about vision. Last Wednesday night, we heard from some dear friends and missionaries, Kieran and Jamie Sterling. They minister to remote tribes in Zambia, Africa. And as Kieran and Jamie were sharing passionately about their ministry in Africa, I was instantly struck with some statements that they made. And it kind of caught me off guard, kind of out of nowhere. And it just kind of went right to my spirit and my heart. And Jamie said this. She said, it's not a 10-step program that has made the difference, as good as that can be. Okay? I'm not putting down 10-step programs or 12-step or whatever it is. What makes the change, regardless of where we minister to remote tribes, and they each have their own gods, their own spirits, their own rules, laws, all remote tribes that they go out and minister to. Okay? It's only one thing. It's the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. And that penetrates every single person that they encounter. Doesn't matter what their history is. And that struck me. Something I know in my mind, my head. But with the crazy things in this life, it's easy to get off track. And it's easy to forget that that's where our change is going to come from. And that's all these people that we pray for and that we love and we want to see their lives better. That's how it's going to change in the end. You know, you always want to see some good things in their lives, but it's through the gospel of Jesus Christ that it's actually going to change. Now, Kieran began to share something else, and this also struck me. Just because where our church has been for the last 6 months, 6-7 months, just when Pastor Tim has left, is that we're ministering. In my mind, the church is doing well because we have incredible people. And I'm so grateful for all of you and for how you have stuck together. You have continued to be the church. But Kieran began to share how Bethel to them is their home church because Jamie's from here, and I've always kind of felt that way anyway. They became friends of Teresa and I's early on in their ministry, and I know they're friends with many of you, and many of you support them. And so Kieran just started talking about our church, and he said, it's because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, I can see this place filled. And And then he said this. He said, I can see people lined up on McAndrews waiting to get in, and that there is somewhat of a traffic jam. And when he said that, honestly, I don't think he was saying that out of anything prophetic, to be honest. I think he said it because he knows the power of the gospel, and he knows what the power of the gospel can do to people and to change people. And that when our world sees people's lives change, they want to know why. And they see people with hope, they want to know why. He knows the power of the gospel because he and Jamie, that's what they do. They share the gospel and see many, many, many people's lives change. And it did something for me when he said that. I thought, it's the gospel. It's the power of the Spirit to change a life that's going to see this church grow. That's how we're going to grow. It's by sharing this wonderful news. And I want to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Right now, I want to bring somebody up. And this young lady's name is Kelly Bales. Come on up, Kelly. She's been kind enough to... Yeah, let's give her a hand. So she's been kind enough to come up. Kelly is fairly new to the church. Been here, what is it, December?
That sounds like January.
Oh, January. Okay, so hold your microphone up.
Like 10 months.
10 months, okay, thank you. And we were at a new friend's dinner, which we're going to have here very soon. So if you're a new friend within the last 6 months, we'd love to see you there. And that's where I met you, and you were at our table. And you began to share some things about your life. And Kelly, just like to, if you could just kind of give us an idea of a quick synopsis of your life, what you've been through, okay?
Okay.
And if I have questions, I'll ask you.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so I grew up here in Medford. I actually grew up going to Christian school. My parents were Christians, so that's kind of all I knew growing up. I went pre-K through high school going to Christian school, so I always considered myself a Christian, but I felt like I really never knew God. I feel like I never really had that relationship with him. I had people all around me. I had my friends. You know, they had that shine for God, and I really, wanted that, but I just didn't feel it. But I still considered myself a Christian. So I graduated high school. I went to college at Oregon State, and that was quite the culture shock. I went there, and, you know, I still considered myself a Christian, but I kind of had fallen away. I never went to church, but I still surrounded myself with people who were Christians, so I still felt like it was there, but I just still, didn't feel it. Anyway, so I graduated college, and I came back here. And I fell in with a lot of the wrong people, and I actually ended up getting into drugs. I had a daughter around the same time, and I ended up losing custody of her. I ended up losing my housing, so I was homeless out on the streets for about 2 years, and it's the hardest thing I've ever been through.
You were homeless?
I was homeless, yes.
Okay, didn't know that.
Yes, for about 2 years I was on the streets, so I lived every single day not knowing where I was going to sleep, if I was going to be able to eat that day, you know, and I just missed my daughter. I missed my home, and I felt nothing but despair. I felt darkness, and I had no hope for my future. I felt nothing. I was in a relationship that was very abusive, and that also was definitely the hardest thing I've ever been through. And, you know, the whole time that I was using, I had my dad who was still there for me, and then I had one other person, and she goes to this church, and it's so crazy how God works, because I would still go see her every couple months, and she would, with no judgment, she was always there for me and telling me, you know, God's going to work all this together for good, and I was just like, okay, I'll wait to see when that happens, because I was, yeah.
Can I stop you just for a second?
Yes.
So was this lady the one that was in Teresa's Bible study?
Yes. Yeah, okay. That was her. Yeah.
And then Teresa, my wife, would tell me once in a while, oh, we're praying for this girl who's in such a terrible state. So they would pray and pray, and then one day, so keep going.
Yeah, so then it was about a year ago now, I decided to get clean. I was just, you know, I was tired of what I was doing, and I was so close to losing my daughter for good, and that's something that I just couldn't do. So I went to rehab, and all of this time, Teresa and Gwen were in Bible study together, praying for me while I was going through rehab. And, you know, while I was there, I really knew what I was missing. But, you know, at that point, I was so weak, all I could say is, you know, thank you, God, for another day clean. And that's all I could do. And then I came back here, and at this point, I had nothing. I had no clothes, no money, no job, and I was just kind of starting over completely. And my friend Gwen was like, hey, you should come check out Bethel. And I was like, okay. And, you know, for like the first month when I was home, I was reading self-help books, going to meetings, thinking, oh, this I can help myself. Like, what am I missing? And then I came to church the first time, and I knew that God was what I was missing. And I decided to join Wanda's Bible study. It was like the second week I came, actually, I think that I signed up for it. And I did it thinking, I'm just going to meet some nice women. It'll be nice to have the support. But the first night that I was there, it totally changed my life. I felt like I knew that God was the thing that I was really missing. And I went home, and I decided just to, you know, let go of what I was trying to do and just let God totally take control. And he has completely changed my life. Yeah.
Thank you, Kelly. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Thank you so much. Do women's Bible studies make a difference? Yeah, they do. You know, when I heard Kelly's testimony, and I grabbed this scripture, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? It's gone. It's vanquished. It's snuffed out. It's defeated. Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ coming into a person's life, breathing new life into that person. Death has no victory now because of the gospel. Now, what are we to do with this today? And how can you change your life to make a difference in the others and others by the power of the gospel? And how can that help this church to grow with new believers? Well, I have some very simple things for you to write down. And if you just read them, you might go, well, yeah, that's nice. But if you do these things, it's going to change you. The first one is ask the Lord to give you opportunities to share the gospel. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. So ask the Lord to give you opportunities. I'm just going to ask you, this is rhetorical, so you don't have to answer back, but do you do that? Do you ask God every morning? Do you say, Lord, give me opportunities to share about you? Because that's a brave prayer. It's a brave prayer. But really, there really is no pressure. Live your life looking for opportunities. Ask God to help you. Ask God to bring people in front of you. Okay, to share the gospel. I'm going to give a recent example. Now, before I tell this story, I'm just going to say I have not shared the gospel with this person yet. But where I live out in Eagle Point, we have some really nice neighbors, and they have a few sons, and Let's just say that I've just, these kids, they're not kids anymore, they're older, but they've had problems in their life. Let's just say that. They've had problems. And I don't know them. I see them every once in a while. And one of them moved into the back of their property. And he's always back there chopping wood and playing music real loud. Although I will say that we had a worship team party outside, and he was playing some really loud, before, just as people were starting to get there, and we had our grandkids outside, some really loud rap music that had some bad lyrics, and he just was blaring it. And all of a sudden, I noticed, he kind of looked up, I kind of looked over there thinking, oh, I wish you'd turn that off. But he switched it to a country station, I noticed. I went, oh, I wonder if he did that on purpose, you know, to be nice. And so didn't think much of it. Well, the other day, I've never spoken to this guy. And from a distance, and what I have known or thought I knew, it was just one of those situations where you go, I don't know if I should talk to this guy. What's he going to say to me? You know, is he going to say something crass or rude or whatever? So he's out there working, and I was thinking about this message. And I was out front, you know, we live out in the country. And I was just out front, and I thought, just go over there and talk to him. So I went over there, and I said, hey. And he kind of, you know, I kind of shocked him because he didn't know I was over there. And he stopped, and he said, yeah? And I said, well, I've never really talked to you before. I go, my name's Roger. And anyway, I noticed you're always out here chopping wood. And he goes, yeah, I've been chopping wood for 15 years. And he came up to me, and you want to talk about something I didn't expect. Number one, he was really nice. And he just didn't have the look, I guess. But he was nice. He looked at me when he talked to me. And we had a nice conversation, and I'm praying that one day I can get to know him better and share the gospel. But you know what? One thing I thought about is it's those kind of situations that we don't jump into, because maybe it's not somebody that you would normally go talk to. They're there, but you don't strike up a conversation. But I'm going to pray that I do have that opportunity. And the reason I say that is because I think that there's opportunities like that every day in our lives. But we need to ask God. We need to ask God to give us those opportunities. And he wants to give us those opportunities to share. And, you know, it's not having to know a bunch of scripture, you guys. It's knowing what God has done in your life. Can you tell somebody what God has done for you? And that's what you need to know. That's what you need to know. Number two is just to pray for those you love to be saved. We all know this. Pray for those you love to be saved. You might think, well, okay. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I don't think it'll be on the screen, but it says, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. Everybody say all. All people. For kings, for all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. And then this is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people. Everybody say all. All people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. All people. When we pray, God will move in ways that we have no idea about. And I know this firsthand because right before I was saved many years ago, my life was a mess, as you know. But suddenly God was everywhere. It was like I would turn on a television program. They'd be talking about God. Now, when I say this, when I look back at it, some of these things weren't, you know, biblical, but I didn't know that. I noticed God. Somebody who I didn't know would come up and start talking to me about God. My neighbor would start talking to me about God. It became so ridiculous that strangers, I was just expecting them to talk to me about God. And oftentimes they did. And what I found out later was that there was this prayer meeting on Saturday nights. They called it 2-7. It was a scripture. And all these people were praying for this guy, Roger Hutley, who was in this band and his life's a mess. And they were praying and praying for me just during this time. Well, what was happening? All these, I was getting bombarded with God. And so what I want to say about that is when we pray, God really does move. He doesn't move in how we can guess. He'll do it in his way. So we can know that when we pray. Third thing is be ready to share the gospel through loving kindness. John chapter 13, wonderful scripture. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. I'm going to share just a brief story. I'll probably get a few of the facts wrong, but it's pretty cool. And she may be in this room, I'm not sure. There's a woman that started going to church here. Her name is Bethany. And she kind of has this infectious enthusiasm, sort of like Kelly when she was up here. But her infectious enthusiasm, is the little that I've been around her, is directed toward loving people and doing things for people. And her and her two sons live in a hotel in Ashland, and there's other families. I didn't really realize that families live in these hotels and for long periods of time. And she knows all these different families very well. Well, one family, it's a man, and he has three younger children. And his wife passed away last December. And so it's him and his three kids. And I don't know this gentleman, but they suddenly were able to get a house. And so, but they had no furniture, zero. He was just grateful that they were able to get their own place. And he told Bethany, he goes, I'm just glad to get this place. And so Bethany decides she's going to get the word out about this guy and his three kids. So she does it through social media. And she has, through what Bethany does for a living, she paints cabinets. She has a lot of people that follow her on Instagram and things like that. So anyway, all these people start responding. And a lot of these people aren't Christians, which is pretty cool. But lots are. And suddenly, there's all these people contacting her. I have this bed. I have this table. I have this chair. And it was all really, really nice stuff. And Teresa helped her out. They had a U-Haul. They were going from place to place, gathering up all this furniture. And they completely filled this guy's house and his kids' place with furniture. Like, how long did it take? A day. In a day. Everybody pitching in. And I love it. You want to talk about an excited bunch of people and a bunch of people who aren't Christians getting excited about it, that they could have a part in this. I began to think about our church, and I began to think, how can we love people with the gospel, but also in showing the gospel and how we act in things that we do. Now, our church does a lot of things that are under the radar. Well, we're going to try to make them not quite so under the radar. And we just had our staff retreat and we talked about this. And we're going to work toward having opportunities for people to serve, but to serve in kind of a different way, when there's a real legitimate need, being able to say, yeah, I'll help out. And not to always ask just the same people, because some of you might feel like that because you've been willing. but have other people involved. So we're working on that. But that's another way to share the gospel. Be ready to share the gospel through loving kindness. And number four, and I'd like the worship team to come up if you would, be willing to serve in ministries at Bethel. Now, we've been talking about this lately, and 1 Peter 4, verse 10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And then I'm going to go on with whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. All right. Kelly was redirected toward God by many things that God did through the prayers of others, like we talked about, and by someone like Wanda Valento, just serving. Wanda was teaching a Bible study like she would do. There's nothing glamorous about that. She was just serving. And by just serving, she had a part, and there's so many things that happen along the line of somebody returning to Christ or coming to Christ for the first time, encountering God, that she was just a piece of that puzzle, but a very valuable piece, okay? And that's what we do when we serve, whether it's for little kids. That was one thing at our staff retreat. We talked about how are we sharing the gospel in all of our ministries. I heard the neatest things from our staff about sharing Christ and how they do it. All the way, they don't just babysit in Promised Land. It's sharing the gospel to little kids. Maybe something that they'll remember for the rest of their lives. Something, one little thing. And it goes all the way through, all the ages. And we talked about sharing Christ and by serving. And that's what we want to do through all of our ministries. People are saved this way. People are discipled. And when we all do this, when we all serve, it attains to unity. I go back to Bethany getting all these people to help. And there was something about that that was so uniting among all those people. And when we serve Christ for the right reasons and we begin to see God move, that's one way that unity really takes place. This church will grow. This church will be healthy by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's not hold it in. Let's share it. Let's see this place full. Now listen, if you would. I'm a person, I love all the lighting. I love, you know, I've been on a stage my whole life. I love all the wonderful music and instruments and neat stage looks. I love a nice building. I love all of the tools that we have to do ministry. I personally love all that stuff. But in the end, that isn't going to fill this place. It's not. That's each of us. And again, it's not a pressure thing at all. It's just, God, I want to share how you changed my life. Can you put somebody in my life that needs to hear that? And maybe at first you're just being nice and getting conversation going, but you're building relationship. It's all about building relationship too. Of course, that's a whole nother subject, but that's what we want to do as well. But so if you walk away from this place today and you think, yeah, I should share my faith more, but then nothing really happens. Well, and that's easy to do. And I've done the same thing. But I guess what I just want to say is just do me one favor. Ask God to help you. Say, I want to share my faith. I want to share what God has done for me. That's what changes lives. That's what changes lives. And with a message like this, I don't want to miss the opportunity that if for some reason there is somebody here that has never accepted this, what we call grace, which is that God has given us something that we don't deserve, something good that we don't deserve. That's grace. And so if you have never accepted Christ into your life, you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, the wrong things that you have done in your life, things that you know are wrong, but you've never asked God to forgive you, but that you want to know God, you want to know who Jesus is, and maybe today you're kind of going, I have missed it all this time. Maybe my hope is right in front of me. And if you're watching online, you can do this right from your living room, wherever you are, your bedroom, watching on your device, wherever you are. And it's very, very simple. So if I could, in this place, if I could ask you all just to bow your heads for a moment, because in a minute I'm going to ask for a raise of hands of anybody in this place who has never done that. But today you're like, I think I would like to do that. I think I would like to get to know God, because I haven't done a very good job of it myself. I haven't done a very good job of how I've handled this life that I've been given. So in a moment, I'm just going to count to three. And when I do, if that is you, I just want you to raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you or anything like that. That just says to you and God, that's me. I want to know you. So if that's you, I'm just going to count to three. You want to know God. One, two, three. Just raise your hand right where you are. Right where you are. You want to know God. Now, if you're a person in this place that you're challenged today, I need to share the gospel more. I'd just like you to raise your hand. I'm not going to count to three. I'd just like you to raise it right where it is. Okay. So we had about half people raising their hands, and I'm sure you have a reason for not raising it, but as a believer in Christ, we always want to share Christ more. So you can open your eyes now and look up. Thank you for doing that. And I've been at this church for 19 years, believe it or not. And I've seen a lot of people come to Christ. I've seen a lot of people change. Boy, I'd love to see a bunch of new Christians. I'd love to see that. I'd love to see us baptizing a whole bunch of people up here. Just a wave of God. He's the one that does it. And so if you'd be praying along those lines with me, let's see that take place. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, let's do that. Well, we're going to sing one last song. So if you could stand up, and wonderful song that we sang last week. And it is all about the gospel. It's all about what he's done.